But yeah, God is, man, he's just doing a lot. And I love seeing the unconventional. I love seeing people just do what God has called them to do, being all who he's called them to be, in whatever form that is, you know, because we live in a dark world. We do. And we need people who are not afraid of the darkness, who are ready to share the light and to go out to make the difference, to make the impact, to be the leader, or to be that resource or that safe haven for others. And so what I'm going to do, Crystal, I'm going to actually go ahead and bring Dr. Crystal, I'm gonna go ahead and bring you on. Let's see. Just because you're already here.
I think I did it. I'm so proud of myself. Hold on, let's see if we can fix this. Okay, let me move that back up from the camera. There we go. That'll work. Okay. You guys, to me and technology, dude, we're not friends. Just know that.
It's all good you made it.
I know. Thank you so much, Ned. My name is Crystal. You know, Crystal is totally fine.
Okay.
Always just be Crystal. It's fine.
Okay. Well, I'm so happy to see you and to see you smile and just see. You look like you're almost in an office right now and
I'm
just
still in the
doing.
office. We got one
Okay.
more stuff tonight. It's fine.
Okay. Okay, well, I thank you so much. I consider it an honor to have you here and to take time out of, I'm sure, your very busy schedule to come and just share you and everything that you have going on. So this is not about me. I'm not spotlighting me. I want to spotlight you. So we'll go ahead and start off with the first question, and just share a little bit about who you are and where you're from, and exactly what it is that you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to join. I'm really excited. I know you're saying you're not spotlighting you, but I'm really excited that you're doing this. I love it. But you already know my name is Crystal Vaughn. I have been in the field of mental health now for a good 18 years. I know I don't look that old. Thank you. No, it's been a really long time.
Oh,
In undergrad, my sophomore year.
okay.
Job, and I never left. I never left after that. My first abnormal psychology class at Liberty University. I was hooked, or behavior, not abnormal. It was behavior psychology.
Okay.
After that, so, but I am from the Hampton Roads area. I live in Norfolk, Virginia. And
Oh.
I'm an owner and therapist, psychotherapist for Cornerstone Therapeutic Services. We are a group practice for individuals, couples, children who have any level of mental health needs. I thoroughly love and enjoy, although if you see some of my Instagram posts sometimes, it's like, sometimes that stress last week was one of those weeks. But if I'm not transparent, then we won't know the truth behind it. So, but I really do love and enjoy and really think that it's not just a job for me. If it was just a job, I would have got out a long time ago. But it really is purpose alignment. It really is what I know what God has called me to do. I know that he has, you know, walked through, I mean, allowed me to walk through some very challenging times for myself and said, hey, this is where you're supposed to be. This is the season now. This is what I've called you to do. These are the people that I've called you to reach. So my niche is trauma. I work with a lot of trauma victims, and it's various forms of trauma. So I work with a lot of trauma victims. I work with a lot of couples. Surprisingly, I love my couples, people who have been married longer than I've been alive. I love my couples, and then I work with those who are leaders. In various forms, so whether it's marketplace, or whether it's actually in church, I work with leaders as well, because for a lot of our leaders in church and outside, we just assume that we're just supposed to keep going. But as my bishop, Bishop S.Y. Young, says, how do you keep, well, keep going, yes. But my thing is, well, how do you keep going? In order for us to keep going, we have to have that balance. So I work with a lot of individuals who, you know, are leaders in their own respective places, whether it's marketplace or in church, and that gives to support them and let them know, like, hey, the balance that we have to have, and it's necessary. So that's, I don't know if I answered the question, but that is what I do and where I am. So, and yes, you are right, I am still in my office. I wouldn't have had time to go home before because we ended one session. We haven't left, so, but... Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. And it is very real, especially I guess when you get to that bigger platform. You talked about leaders, and I'm sure, like you said, in ministry and in the secular field, and also older couples. And you know, like once you get to a certain level, it's almost like, oh, y'all good, you know, y'all can figure it out, y'all been there before, y'all know how to do X, Y, and Z. But no, they need some tender love and care as well, you know, and they need that safe space because they got to talk about all the people that, you know, stressing them out, you know, dealing with all these other type of folk. And, you know, so, and so you mentioned that you've been doing this since, undergrad pretty much. So which is where we first met, at Liberty. And, now, what was it that got you on that trajectory? Was that something you just kind of felt like, you were always someone's psychologist, and was like, you know what, let's just do it that way? Or did you just wake up one day and the Lord was like, psychology, you know? So how did that come to be?
In all honesty, when I started at Liberty, I was going for nursing. Psychology was not in my field at all.
Okay.
But I took my first, I want to say it was anatomy, physiology, or some medical class, and I was like, oh, This is not it, Lord. Like, I don't think you called me to do this. But I took a women's literature class, and not women's literature, but women's ministry class, and I took a behavior psychology class. And it was, when I was in that behavior, it was just like, you know, like, oh my gosh, like this is, no one ever told me about this. And it helped me realize a lot of things about myself. Like, I love to know and understand how people think. I love to know how people, you know, move, what makes them tick, and all those things. And at first, I was in it because I wanted to work with children. So when I was in Lynchburg, when I was still living in Lynchburg, I worked at a community services board. I worked in Appomattox for the therapeutic day treatment. I worked with a lot of, you know, I work with teen moms. You know, I really, really loved it. But honestly, it was not until, and I've always, now I'm about to be super transparent, I've always struggled with, not always, but I had my moments struggling with anxiety. I had a kid, went up to an 88-year-old. And I didn't realize it, honestly, until, because my mother's a teacher, so I didn't realize that what it was for a long time until I got into it. I was like, oh. And I actually went and saw someone, like, oh, that's why I think the way I think. That's why I move the way I move. Huh. Okay, now it makes sense. And it really pulled my heartstrings as far as to making sure that our children understood who they were and understand that just because you have a diagnosis does not mean that you are less than anyone else or that you are able to be labeled or should be labeled. So when I was working at the CSB, and I'm sorry for anybody who work at the CSB, but when I was working at the CSB, it was several doctors that worked there. And before I signed them up to get their medication management appointment or to see a psychologist, psychiatrist, I knew what their diagnosis would be before they went into the office. Not because I was good at diagnosing, no, but because I knew the doctors. And that bothered me. That really was like, I do not like this. Like, and because most of my clients, a good 67% of our clients was African-American children for me. So I was like, oh no, we can't. Like, that's not okay for me. So that's what pushed me into really wanting to go more into getting and finishing my doctoral program so I can make sure that I'm diagnosing or our children are being diagnosed correctly. But also when it comes to when I felt like God was saying, like, hey, this is you, was when I was struggling in I was in a really dark place, struggling really, really hard. And I was reaching out to a few people to actually go to my church, like Brother Walter Virgil and Bishop and my friends Kelly, and like a lot of people, Brian Crutchwell, like a lot of people. Like, I was struggling for a minute, and I just didn't understand like what was going on. And I'll never forget, Bishop was preaching a message, and it was like, your hardest battle is where you're called to be. And at that point, my hardest battle was understanding, or actually being able to identify like what's going on to me. Like, why am I having these up and down emotions? Why am I having, you know, those moments where I just did not feel like getting out of bed and did not, why was I functioning? I still had to go to work because I will always work.
But yeah.
As soon as I got out of work, I went right back home and got in my bed. Would eat, would not eat, whatever it may have been. Like, I was really dark. It was a really, really dark time. And I was like, okay, God, like, I need you to say something or do something, or I don't know how long this is going to last. And I always felt different, always, you know, felt like I went to my own drum, did my own thing. But then when I actually understood why I did the things I did, like, what was the residual trauma for myself? What was, you know, the cause, the root of some things? It was like, oh, okay, God. And when I moved back to Norfolk, Virginia, which was like 5 or 6 years ago, man.
Okay.
6 years ago, I think so. That's when I realized like exactly which avenue God was calling me. Because I've always wanted to, like, not always, but since I got into myself, I knew like, okay, like this is my thing. Like, I know I'm supposed to be here. But the mental side of mental health and how they actually are combined, there is no separation. Which a lot of people try to separate, but there is no separation. And am I freezing?
It's kind of going, it's going in and out a little bit like the video, but you're talking straight. Like, you're not, your voice isn't choppy.
Oh, okay. But there is no separation in the two. And I knew that that's my avenue. That's where I'm supposed to let people know. That's the walk that I'm supposed to, you know, that's the path I'm supposed to walk down. Like, making sure that people know, our churches know, our people who are believers, people who are not believers, like, understand, like, there is no separation. It's combined. Spiritual and your mental are combined. Yeah. So, hopefully I answered the question, but that's how I got to mental.
Combined. Yeah, I love asking that question because everybody's journey is different. Some people, it really was just, how did I even get here? Oh, okay. It's just a series of random events. And then others, it is this, in a way, almost a lifetime pursuit. And when you get to that situation where, you know, like you said, because I went through this, God is now using that for me to minister to others. So with what you're doing now, how often are you able to combine, if at all, I guess, in the office space, your faith with your mental health?
So it depends on my clients. I do it every session.
Okay.
It's different, but okay. I know that they know every session, like whether I do take the lead of my client. But when I have clients that actively say like, yes, I'm a believer and I want to make sure that I'm incorporating that into therapy, it's like, yes,
let's go.
I have some who are still on the fence, and I'll do it in different ways of teaching, like understanding what do you find solace in, what do you find support in, what do you find peace in, and allowing them to find anchor, like finding your anchor there, and understanding the same principles that we use. There's life and death lies in the power of your tongue. Use your voice. Then making sure that you speak things, acknowledging it and putting it in reality. Same exact thing. It's just a way, I'm saying theme, it's just a way that I do it.
Yeah.
So either way, you come in my office, you're going to get Jesus. Like, it's just how he's presented, but he's still going to show up.
Oh, I'm just writing that down. Yeah. Either way, you come in my office, you're going to get Jesus.
Either way, you're going to get Jesus. Gonna have an encounter one way or other.
Oh, that's dope. And so for what you're doing, because like even just kind of going by, you know, your professional fit, you get photo shoots and all this, what are some of the things that you are looking to do with your own, I don't know if the term to use is practice, or your own clientele, kind of short term or long term, whether it is just with therapy or bringing in another avenue to your brand?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So it is a practice, not okay. Larger. And I want to continue to expand. I want to make sure that we're reaching our communities. I would like for churches to begin workshops. I would like for, you know, communities. It's a lot easier. I don't want to say so easy, but it's a lot easier for to have a workshop in the community than it is in a church, which is a problem.
Yeah.
We need to have a church and not just, you know, sweeping on the rug. But it is making sure that we are getting the voice, the word, the message out as much as we can without hesitancy. Like, it is needed. Although it has been, you know, talked about a little bit more, we're being vocal about it a little bit more, but it's still not enough. It's still not enough, especially not in our community, or not in the African-American community. It's not enough. In communities of culture, color is not enough. We the highest suicide. Why? There are also the rate of suicides in pastors and leaders that rose.
Yeah.
You know, so why are we not having the conversations? Why are we still trying to cover it up as if it doesn't happen? So yeah. Workshops, I need communities, I need, you know, the avenue just to get the word out by any means necessary. You know, so, and then we have Cornerstone Creatives. And Cornerstone Creatives is the mental health apparel line where we are not just for individuals, but other practitioners. So whether they need affirmation cards and journals and other tools, you know, to use for their clients or use for themselves. Because even though I'm a therapist, trust me, I have a therapist.
Yeah.
I don't bypass it, you know. So we all need that support and we all need that. Push at those moments. So it's necessary for us to be able to see it all in every aspect of it. So that's what I would love. That's the avenue that I want to go down, that it's a community. It's not just, hey, you come and get therapy. No, it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
It reaches a lot. My hand can't reach far, but the more that we get on board, the more people that are willing tell their story, the more people that are willing to come and say, hey, I'll help, hey, I'll volunteer, hey, I'll do a community day with you, hey, I'll do this. It's necessary and allows for love to be shown. One, and then also it allows for the word to go out. To say, hey, I'm just like you. Your diagnosis does not define you.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What was the name of that that group that you're talking about? The last word I heard was creatives, but I missed the word in front of that.
Oh, it's Cornerstone Creatives.
Say it one more time.
Cornerstone.
Okay. Got you. Okay. Cornerstone. Okay. So before I let you give your wrap-up message, and I know exactly what I'm going to ask you, how can people say, hey, I actually do want her to come to our community group or come to lead a group at the church or to just come speak to church about X, Y, and Z, or I need therapy. How do I get in contact with her? How can people reach you, Dr. Crystal?
You can DM me on Instagram, you can email me, you can, you know, send a smoke signal. No, I'm just joking. But my email is cornerstonetherapyllc@gmail.com. The website is cornerstonetherapeuticservices.com. And then, of course, my Instagram is, you know, Cornerstone Creatives have their own page. Cornerstone Therapeutic Services has their own page. And then I have my own page. So any way you want to reach out, you can. You can call my office. It's 757-525-2458. And that will come directly to me. So any way that you reach out, please. You can, Psychology Today. Another way that you can find me, Black Girls in Therapy, I think that's what it's called, Clinicians of Color is what it's called. Clinicians of Color, Psychology Today, and Therapy for Black Girls. There's also other forums that you can find me on.
Now, just a quick question. The term cornerstone, what's the meaning of that word?
So, initially, cornerstone is really from my dad's.
Okay.
Following his is Cornerstone Builders. But okay. It's definitely, his was like the chief cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a cornerstone. But to follow in his footsteps, I took it and I said, we'll have Cornerstone Therapeutic Services because we're reframing the heart, mind, and soul. So to follow the building, the community and building went up because understand, like in order for you to go through this journey, you are going to have to reframe your mind because everything starts there. So
okay, so that was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you go, because you did touch on this quite a bit, but what is your message for those, I would say specifically leaders in the church that still kind of have this wall up as it relates to mental services or just talking about it in general? What is your message to them?
Understand that being a leader does not define who you are. That's a role that we fill. And understand that if it's a role, that's not me. So in order for you to fulfill that role, you have to take care of yourself. And in order to take care of yourself, you have to do it mind, body, and soul.
Yeah.
All mind and body, but we do body and soul, but we don't touch the mind. But everything starts there.
Yeah.
So if you are and you want to think, you have to take care of you as an individual so that you can fulfill your role of leader, pastor, evangelist, deacon, praise and worship leader, whatever role that you have. You are an individual first. You are a human first. And the wonderful thing I love about the Bible, sorry, the wonderful thing I love about the Bible is that I have not seen one place in the Bible where God condemns someone for their emotions. How he created them. But yeah, we do it every day.
Yeah.
We don't allow ourselves to feel. We don't allow ourselves to actually acknowledge like what emotions that we have. But everyone, the greats of the greats, Elijah, my favorite prophet, Moses, fear of rejection that he delivered. Esther had a fear of anxiety, fear of going to the king. They had emotions and they expressed. Mm-hmm. So if those were, why don't we? That is.
Yeah, Jesus himself. You see it in the scripture. I remember I looked at that before. Jesus, you know, he was sad. He was angry. He was annoyed. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, y'all doing a lot right now. You should calm down. You know, so he had those emotions. You have Jeremiah and, of course, David. I mean, just look through the song, one song, praise Jesus, kill them all. Mm. Right. Go on, David. You know.
But, yeah, we refuse to actually be.
I feel like you should do a tour.
Okay, man.
Yeah, I feel like you should do a tour. And I'm gonna tell you why I said that. I'm a DM you though. But yeah, because I think it's one of those things where you have to create the opportunity. You know what I mean? And just busting doors open, like, look. especially with the statistics that you gave, because it's very sad to see. Just a lot of your leaders, specifically your spiritual leaders, a lot of them either denouncing their faith or committing suicide or just a weird combination of the two or just completely just going baseball, you know. So we need more people like you, Holy Ghost filled people in the mental health field for like, look, we got some digging that we got to do. So thank you so much for what you've been doing in the community, helping us, helping your people, and just sharing the love of Jesus so that way like you said, whoever steps in your office, whether they know Jesus or not, they're going to know
before they leave.
So, yeah, I will drop all the information. I have Cornerstone Therapy LLC at, did you say Gmail?
Cornerstone Therapy. I'm sorry, I lost my name. Cornerstone Therapy PLLC.
PLLC, okay.
SchismPaulLLC at gmail.com.
Gmail. Gotcha. We have Cornerstone Creatives on Instagram, the Cornerstone Therapy therapeuticservices.com. And what do we have? We have Clinicians of Color and Therapy for Black Girls. And I think you said it's like today. So I'm getting all on there. And if you look at like, man, that's not right, then please let me know. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to edit the comment, edit the caption and get on that. But thank you so much for taking some out of your day and your evening. And hopefully once you get off of here, you can go rest for the rest of the day and or just have some fun and do something amazing. So thank you for coming. It's been an honor.
Thank you. I love you. Bye.
Yes. Bye. Love you too. So that was our Dr. Crystal, or Crystal as she prefers, who came and just shared what she's doing in the mental health field, in the secular as well as the, I guess, ministry related. And so I will put all of her information there online. And so we do have one more person, but I'm just going to double check because it looks like they got caught up with something else. So they weren't able to come on, but I am going to check just to make sure. But for those of you who are interested or just want to get an idea of what I am doing, this is Purpose Spotlight, where every week I intend to have two guests to come and share how they're being themselves for purpose, the amazing things that they're doing, and very creative, oftentimes unique, and sometimes just very the things that are specific just for them, you know, that God is using in a very miraculous way. And so so it looks like she's about to come on, but if you are interested and know someone who may be interested in being spotlighted and come on and get to share, just use the platform just to get it out there. And, you know, you can share with your people, see the interviews and all of that. Please DM me and let me know. We have a few spots that are still open for this particular season going closer into December, just to give you a point of reference. We do 8 episodes, every season. And so you can, you know, just say, hey, Nia, I'm interested. And if I see, you know, that you're a good fit for this particular program, then we'll go ahead and we'll get you on the schedule if you're able. If not this season, then next season. And I think next season as well, we're going to try to bring back some other people who we've had within the last with the 3 seasons prior, just to catch up and see what they're doing, because there's been a lot of progression, a lot of movement, and a lot of people just doing some amazing, amazing things in many, many fields. And so we just want to, you know, track back with them and see what they're doing. And so let me see. Technology is wonderful. When it works, it's wonderful. When it doesn't work, it's like, yeah. But nevertheless, I'm wearing this shirt, Be a Light, Not a Lampshade, from El Paz. This is a friend of mine, Larry, out in the Richmond area. And we had him on the program. Was that last season? Yes, it was last season. He was here last season. And so you can look, if you go on my Instagram page, you can see his episode. I think he was episode, I really want to say 5. I could be wrong about that, but I think he was 5. I think he was episode 5. So, but I see our second guest, and I'm going to bring her on right now.
Hi, I am so sorry.
It is perfectly fine. It is
Like
perfectly fine.
I am here. I'm glad to be here.
Yes,
First of
yes.
all, let me fix my camera. Hold on.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot happening. Give me 1 second. All right, we good? Am I good?
Okay, cool. Yes, we are good. I'm good if you're good. You good?
Hi, Mia. Yes, I'm good.
Well, hello. How are things?
Hi. I'm great. I couldn't be better.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we love to hear. I'm glad you're doing well. You got a smile on your face. So
oh.
At the end of the day, you
what
know.
Should I tell you? What should I tell you? What happened when we get off here?
I just think I'm just so excited. Okay, we're just gonna pray for her, and it's
right.
You know, it's just, not we'll get her on the next show. But
no, I'm here.
But nevertheless, yes, you are here, and I'm so very grateful for you for being here, taking time out of your schedule, and being willing to come and just share who you are, what you have going on. And we met 3 or 4. So that was
3 or 4 at Newtown High School.
That was almost 20 years ago.
That's wild.
That was 20 years ago.
That is wild. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's been that long, and I'll never forget. You so I was like, oh, she can sing. So I'm like, okay. And I remember it was I don't remember what event was, but you sang God Bless a Child That's Not His Own, and then you did this crazy run at the end, and I was like, dang, she can sing.
That was I was in a play, a Black
okay.
play.
Okay,
because I was in
okay.
theater. I still do theater, but I was in theater, and I forget the teacher's name. It was 20 years ago. But we did the Black History Month play. That's why I was singing that song from Billie Holiday.
Yes.
Yep.
So, obviously, that is a major part of who you are, but it's definitely not everything. There's so
not
much
everything.
More. Jocelyn Leigh. And so, I'm not going to take up any more of your time because this is your spotlight. And so, go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
So, I'm Jocelyn Hodge. I did get married last year.
Yes.
Yep. I am a human being with a
okay.
heart. That's first.
Okay.
I love people. I am an administrator at a middle school in Baltimore County.
Okay.
I have been an educator for 11 years. I just decided to go into administration in the last at the beginning of this school year.
Okay.
In addition, teaching is my jam. Everybody knows that. I love teaching. In addition to that, I am a vocal artist. And so I sing praise and worship. I'm a gospel singer. What else? I am an entrepreneur. I own a business called A Space for Grace,
okay.
which is a mentoring program for young ladies. And our vision is that we're equipping girls to change the world. So that's a little bit about me.
Got you. Okay. So looking at all these different things from being an educator, entrepreneur, slash mentor, coach type ordeal with kids that you're pouring into, and obviously with singing, all these different pieces of Miss Jocelyn Hodge. Did you wake up one morning and it was just like, oh, this is what I want to do? Or was it a series of events that led to you, that led to this transformation into who you are now and in essence are becoming?
That's a really good question. It was not a wake up one morning and this is who I am kind of thing. It was definitely, since I was as young as I can remember, I used to babysit my little cousins. And because that's just how we kind of do in our community, in our culture, we
yeah.
keep the little ones. And so while I was keeping the little ones, that was training me for so much.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that was training me for was education. So my cousin, Gabrielle and Noodles, they would come over to the house, and I would, they were my first students. So I would teach them, I would give them homework, classwork, all the things that you could think of. We did that. and that's kind of how I knew that I wanted to go into teaching. I would take some of my teacher's work from the classroom, and love you, Tone, and I would bring it home to my cousins. And so they would be doing my like sixth grade work when they were like in second grade. But that's how I kind of knew that education was my passion. And honestly, I thought that as far as the education part of my life, I thought that that was all I was going to do with education. I didn't even think beyond being a teacher. I didn't know that being a magnet coordinator would be a thing, or being an administrator was going to be a thing. I never even considered any other avenue or any other facet of education. Got my master's, I got my undergrad from Morgan State as well as my master's, and still didn't even think beyond beyond just being in the classroom, because I loved it so much and I was so very comfortable there. But there was something about kind of mastering the classroom space that made me kind of look for more, if that makes sense. Yeah. One thing about purpose is that it can only stay comfortable for so long. Purpose always calls you a little bit higher. And for me, to be very transparent, this particular promotion or progress for me was very uncomfortable because, like I said, I was so used to being in my classroom. So now training my mind to think a little bigger and to have a more overarching thought process has been challenging for me, but also very profoundly rewarding. As far as music, so my family, I have a musical family. My father and my mother kind of pushed us into doing music, my brothers and I. And so growing up in a church, of course, everybody sang. But there was something about music that was very important for me, in the fact that it got me through some tough times and it got me to some really good times. And so we decided, my brothers and I decided we were going to go and pursue music in a different kind of way, writing and producing for them and going out and ministering and performing for them in other spaces. So that's that. About A Space for Grace, which is my business, that came about because as an educator, I long to do much more than I can do within the confines of the four walls of a classroom.
Yeah.
And so for me, I knew that my impact needed to be a little bit greater. And so I decided to do it myself. Yeah. So with the help of the Lord, I was able to birth A Space for Grace. And we're going on year two. I've been able to accomplish so much in so little bit of time with the help of some of my amazing family members and supporters and just people who have caught a hold of the vision and are just pushing it with me. So yeah, nothing for me came easily, and nothing for me came overnight. But everything has been like a built upon process for me, and it's still growing. I think another thing about purpose is that you don't quite see the end of it. You just know when you're walking in it. You know, the path doesn't always look clear. But you know when you're in purpose, when it feels a little bit uncomfortable, when a little bit like you're being stretched, and a little bit like God's will. So that's my answer to that.
But that's amazing though, and I think, you know, obviously a ministry to, or having that space of grace, you know, for young girls. Now, you said you're in middle school, so is that kind of your target age as far as a space for grace? That was that 11 to 14?
So, right now, because my niece is, a space for grace is built off of what I do at work, but also by the young women that I'm connected to personally. Okay. So my niece is 13. Okay. So my target audience is about 10 to 14-ish right now. But okay. When the older she gets, the more range I'm gonna have with Space and Grace, because I'm she's stuck with me, so I gotta make sure I make sure she's included in everything.
Gotcha. And so with that, what are some of your, and you kind of just said it as far as your niece is concerned, but with Space for Grace, even with your music, and with you, with what you're doing in education, what are some of the things that you're immediately working on short term and long term?
So I'll start with long term. I want a building.
Yeah.
Building. And another long-term goal is that I'm endeavoring to build a alternative school for girls. So that's long.
Yeah.
Long-term. Short-term, I want to commit to continuing to have an event for young ladies once a quarter. That's been my goal. Hey, Yawns. That's been my goal, to at least reach and to continue to have my numbers grow. I want to go each event. I want to have at least 5 more girls than I had the last time, because I got to know that my impact is, I need to know that it's working.
You know? Yeah.
And so growth, in a sense, can be a good measuring tool to how impactful your ministry or your vision or your purpose is.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I talking about property, you know, I hear that a lot. Let me rephrase it. I've been hearing that, and we need a building, we need space to be able to do this, you know, so we don't have to rent out here, or we have to have a time limit here because, you know, the next group has to come in, or, you know, paying out X, Y, and Z, you know. And it's just what you're believing God for fits right in line with what he's already in the process of doing. Mm-hmm. Meaning he is opening up the heavens for his people, mm-hmm. for everything that they need. There's a, if you ever had a conversation with me, at some point you'll hear me mention Oswald Chambers, who wrote a book called My Utmost for His Highest. And there's a phrase in there where he says, God will tax every sand on the shore and every star in the sky to make sure that you have what you need to fulfill my purpose in your life.
Sure.
And so with that property, it's already yours.
Yep.
You already have it, and it's going to come a lot faster than you think.
The thing about A Space for Grace is I've had this vision for a long time, mm-hmm. but some things have like kind of gotten in my way, like myself, you know, like the fear of moving forward with it. But when I said yes to purpose, like when I said yes to moving forward in purpose, everything just started falling in. Everything just started aligning with what I said and what my intentions were. So I appreciate you saying that. Am I looking forward to it happening quickly? That's a lot of responsibility. So that's why I said long term. But I'm down for whatever God wants to do, because clearly I have no control.
Yeah. And I think the reason for it is this urgency that's there, that space for grace, that very literal place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Space for grace. It's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, because it, you know, you do have other, you know, organizations who are, God bless them, they're secular, but there's this space, this divine space that's needed.
Sure.
That's able to accomplish so much more than what other groups are trying to do in the natural, physical, worldly type of space. Okay. Not that they're bad, obviously not condemning anybody, but for what God is going to do for you, it's going to be bigger. It's going to be bigger. And I don't know if you already have something, a space in your mind of like an actual vision of what this space is going to look like, how many rooms, the type of property, what's what it needs to incorporate, you know, for space for grace. You know, you want to have a salon in here, you want to have a spa, you want to have, you know, some workout area where they can do some dancing, whatever. You know, all those different types of things. Have bathrooms, you know, just a place, just the whatever, a space like that, like for you, bean bags, you know, hot cocoa, coffee, cappuccino, whatever. All those different types of things. A library, sorry, I'm just on top of my head. Just library, all that, all of that, you know. The way that God is operating now is that He is saying, all you have to do is ask me for it. That's it. Just ask for it, and it's yours. It's awesome. All you got to do is ask Him for it. So whatever it is that you're envisioning, He's like, okay, all right, I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna give you some more. You stay in line with, you know, where He called you to be. You know, He already thinks you're ready. You're ready for it because you've said yes. And that's a big thing that I hope people grasp is that when you say yes, God's like, well, finally, can we do something now? You know, and then He just takes off. You're like, so as fast as He's already been moving in the spiritual, God is ready to really open up the heavens, like I said before, open up the heavens for His people who are really committed to doing what He's called them to do, who are really committed to walking in their purpose. And so, and if He says, you know, and my God will provide all your needs according to His riches, like, you know how rich my God is? Do you
And
know how rich He is?
I think for me, saying yes has been like a progressive thing. So I would say like maybe. It wouldn't be like a yes. It would be more like a maybe, and then maybe a little more, and then maybe a little more, as opposed to now I'm in a space, in the last, I want to be honest and say like month or months, where I finally have been like, you know what? Like completely yes. Like all the way yes. I'm 100% in all in to what God wants to do through me and in me. But it hasn't been like that always. Even though it might have, you know, looked like it to a lot of people, it hasn't always been like that. It's been recently. I don't know if it's an age thing or what, but I've finally been in a place now where I'm like, okay, God, we're gonna do this. I'm going all the way.
Absolutely. It's because it is progressive, and I think it's all about God's pursuit of us and His patience, you know. Because you know, it just that mercy thing is real, you know. And part of our journey to finally saying yes is that same thing that'll liberate others, you know, to say, hey, took me this long. It don't gotta take you so long, you know. In that process, like you said, from to no to I'll think about it to maybe to yes, you know. So God's like, okay, let me keep showing this girl. Let me keep showing you how much I see you, how much I hear you, how much I care about you, how much I am working behind the scenes to make sure that you have everything you need, you know. And then, you know, 30, 40 years later, we're like, okay, I believe you now. But as far as what you are doing, and with a space for grace, with your music, with even like what you're doing in education, things like that, how can people get connect with you and get a closer look into all of that and what you're doing?
Well, I think the quickest way is here on Instagram,
Okay.
at Jolay2. There's a link in my bio that has all the information for anything that I ever do. As far as my music, everything is pretty much in the link in my bio. Because you know we live in like this digital era now, so everything is there. My Instagram for A Space for Grace is at A Space for Grace LLC. So, and I'm always one DM away or one comment away.
Great. So before you leave, since the the focus shifted to the girls that you're mentoring. What is your message to them? And as it relates to just what it is that you're trying to pour into these young girls who need this space for grace?
My message is simple, and it's deliberate, and it is that in time, mm-hmm. there's nothing that you cannot do. Mm-hmm. With time and in time, there is nothing that you can't do. The sky is the limit. I've created boundaries, so many boundaries for myself, only to realize that they aren't real. They're not real. Like I was telling you earlier, I thought, oh, hey, Anike, I thought for a very long time that education was the pinnacle to what I was going to be doing in education, but I moved beyond the classroom because the lines that I've drawn for myself and the boundaries that I've drawn for myself are not real. They're not real. And so I'd encourage any woman, any girl to dream big and then dream bigger and then dream the biggest. There's nothing you can't do. Get you a squad of people who believe in you, people who you can trust with your vision, people you can trust with your promise, people you can trust with your purpose, and then just go for it. Like, move relentlessly in the direction of purpose and let nothing stop you.
I need to learn shorthand. Where are we going to end with that? Well, thank you. Thank you. This is wonderful. Thank you for sharing your light and your warmth and your heart. You know, it's very evident that you love what you're doing and that you are truly making impact and changing the world one person, one student, you know, one song. So God's going to do a lot, and I think he's going to surprise you quite a bit. So get ready, because he's ready. So
how do you get ready? How do you get ready for a surprise? How do you do that?
You just keep looking. You just, you know, just keep checking. that's it. You know, just make sure whatever it could possibly be. You read, you listen, you get, you know, prepare your mind. The liqueur that we had on before here, Dr. Crystal. You know, that heart, spirit, emotion, mind, all of that. Just stay in that discipline, that, you know, that alignment. And so when you're there, you know, that's it. Like you said, you know, you're just walking in it, you know.
Yeah.
And as you are saying yes, then what you desire is on the other side of obedience, you know. So and I see it now. It's just like, you're ready because you've been obedient. You're ready because you've been saying yes. And because you got the Lord with you.
Yeah.
You good.
I really do feel that way too. I feel undefeated, and I feel that there's nothing I can't do because God's on my side. I really feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's an amazing place to be.
Yeah.
That is an amazing place to be. So please enjoy the rest of your, what is today? Today is
Monday.
Your Monday. So
it's Monday.
I will put all of your information there, pretty much Jolene too, or your Instagram, which we're on now, and then a Space for Grace LLC, and then the link, obviously the link that's in your bio, and they can get all the other information that they need.
Yep. All right. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me. Keep being amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a joy. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
That has been episode 1 of Purpose Spotlight. I am so grateful for these two beautiful women and the amazing things that they are doing in their communities. Crystal, she's in Norfolk, Virginia, and Jocelyn, who is in Baltimore. And so episode 2 is going to be back next Monday at 7 p.m. We have someone from Atlanta, and the other person is from... Oh, she's in Baltimore as well. Yeah, she's in Baltimore as well. Ha, 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 ha. So I'm super excited. But if you are someone who you know is interested or might be interested in using this platform to share what they're doing, walking in their purpose and being themselves for purpose, please feel free to DM me and let me know. All the people that were up, Crystal and Jocelyn, who are there, we're going to share this and I'll put their information in the caption so you'll be able to follow and get connected with them however you see fit. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you can join me again for the next time on Be You for Purpose, the podcast.